The Tom Woods Show, episode 1187.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Friends, my Away carry-on helps make my travel a pleasure. It's super strong yet lightweight, and it's even got its own USB charger built in. I'm like the king of the airport with this thing. Take $20 off your suitcase order when you head to awaytravel.com/woods and use promo code WOODS at checkout. Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. What an interesting experiment we have going on here. Thanks to Nathan Dempsey, the creator of Liberty Minecraft. Now, he's created it, of course, because it's fun and people like doing fun things. But incidentally, it also serves an interesting purpose, I would say, because in this game, Liberty Minecraft's players have to solve difficult problems. Can people have abundance and wealth in a world of finite resources without resorting to violence or threats of violence? In this game, the land itself is among the many scarce resources, so they may run out of lava, quartz, and ore. They may run out of trees, water, even the dirt itself, so they have to make decisions. It's a very, very interesting experiment, particularly because, as we'll talk about in a minute, he was able to run an experiment of, let's say, in this area there'll be private property, and in this area there won't be. Let's play with the different rules and see what the consequences are, and they're quite striking. So a very, very worthy project to check out, which you can do at libertyminecraft.com. So let's welcome Nathan onto the show right now. Nathan, thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Tom.
I don't know anything about Minecraft. Now I've already lost. First, I said the thing about dogs versus cats that alienated everybody out there.
I knew you were going to bring that up. Okay. I don't know why you like cats.
Yeah, I know. See, look, we're not going down that path. But I'm not knowledgeable about Minecraft, so I know even less about Liberty Minecraft. So can you situate those of us who are, let's say, mentally challenged in that way, first of all, just explain what Minecraft is, and then let's talk about Liberty Minecraft?
Yeah, sure thing, Tom. So Minecraft is the best example of something called a sandbox game. Almost everything that happens in the game is the result of player choices. Minecraft worlds are both numerous and large. Every default Minecraft world has a surface area that's 6 times larger than Earth by surface area, right? So enormous. And if each of these worlds were a grain of rice, you could cover the continent of Europe to a depth of 10 feet. So there's a lot of possibilities there. Gameplay starts out a bit like Lego on your computer, because the whole world breaks apart into blocks that players can use to build or craft products. And those products and materials can be used to create entirely novel designs, everything from aesthetic-looking gardens to automatic sliding doors. In the game, there's something called redstone. It looks like wiring and circuitry, but players can emulate any kind of a computational system with it. In 2016, a player engineered a computer inside the game. And I like explaining Minecraft this way because it shows the games are more capable than you can imagine. These are rich environments that can offer, you know, a lot of value at low cost and low risk.
All right. Now I want to talk about the idea of Liberty Minecraft, because here, I guess the idea is that you're playing, well, you know what? Why don't you explain it? Because anything I do is just going to butcher it. But I'm fascinated by this because in a way, it's like being able to sit back and observe a real society organized according to our principles. Am I getting that right?
You are. Yeah, right, I think so, at least. It depends on who you ask, right?
Well, sure.
But Liberty Minecraft is a proof of concept. It's not perfect, but it is an implementation of Austrian economics with libertarian ethics. Unlike a default world, Liberty Minecraft is the size of Manhattan. Our players confront scarcity in ways that wouldn't happen otherwise. It's a simple new way to offer market interaction without state intervention. So our players are exploring what happens with private property, free markets, self-ownership. And if any of that doesn't quite make sense, it's kind of helpful in one way to think about Minecraft servers like private city owners. So a person is homesteading the server by building it up, and they define conditions that allow other people to use their server. Players often want to play online, and they don't want to have their property tampered with within the server. So to be secure, you know, operators are performing that service. And operators, they also decide which services will be available. Players can even safeguard themselves against a bad or malicious server operator by downloading a copy of their stuff. So there's nothing to hold someone who doesn't want to stay there. So in Liberty Minecraft in particular, there's just one rule, but I do let the players define their own rules in terms of enforcement within their land, provided they're not breaking the server rule.
What is the rule?
Okay, so our one rule is resolve nonviolent disputes nonviolently.
Okay, so now that leads me to the question, in the context of this environment, is there the equivalent of a state?
No, because everything is voluntary. A Minecraft player can leave the server at once. And each of the services that I offer within the server are also voluntary. For instance, we have money that's diamonds, right? Maybe I could explain a little bit how that works. One thing I knew going in with Minecraft is that players often use diamonds as a medium of exchange. And within Minecraft, you know, there's lots of reasons why this is a great choice. Diamonds are durable, portable, fungible, scarce, desirable. They just aren't divisible. Other Minecraft items are divisible, but they're not scarce. So in the game, those items can be produced infinitely. In Minecraft, gold is one such item. So we don't use gold. We use diamonds. But even in this case, it's voluntary because players, if they wanted, they could use something else. In fact, I wanted all commodities to compete, but I was facing some technical constraints. You know, I couldn't offer money services for all the game items. I had to pick one. And maybe that's something I can solve one day. But even if I do solve it, all game items share the same vulnerability. I am a central point of failure, and I'm not perfect. But, you know, finally I have an excuse to be stubborn, which is nice. But in case, you know, if I were to mess this up, it's good for business to try and prevent all of that. And I have an economic incentive to do a good job here.
What's the object of the game?
So Minecraft is kind of self-directed. There is a main quest of sorts where you can go to a place called The End and fight a dragon. But most players spend their time mining resources, crafting products, and building shelter. You know, they can invest in sort of like capital goods to create new ways to farm things and things like that. So it's very self-directed.
So let's guide me through what happens if I first join and I start playing. What am I seeing and what's the experience like?
Okay. When you first enter Liberty Minecraft, you won't have a penny to your name. But what you do have is your digital body and your freedom. Within our rules, you're free to do everything that you're able to. Everything you see in the world has been created by people who started out just like you have. Most of the structures have a definite purpose. There are more than 1,000 player-run shops, which is crazy considering, you know, our active population, as I talked to you today, is like 30 players. When you enter the world, I have a farm set up where you can earn some starting money by harvesting and selling crops. But if you don't like my farm, you can set up and compete with me in a completely free market with absolute property rights. Some very interesting things happen. First of all, the idea of a job kind of vanishes. Like, sure, players have made contracts to build houses and mine quartz or something, but there's not an incentive to centralize and get large as a means to protect your property from the state, because there is no state. All interactions are voluntary, and everyone is managing their own capital, operating like an entrepreneur. In fact, I kind of have a hunch about these words, like entrepreneur. It's French, of course, right? Like millionaire. Well, both of these terms were coined in the 18th century in the days of John Law. John Law was the son of a Scottish banker who killed a man in a duel over a woman. He was sentenced to death in the UK and fled to continental Europe. And in Amsterdam, he got interested in the stock market and developed a monetary system where gold was replaced by paper money. Just imagine that, right? Well, somehow John Law befriended the Duke of Orleans. And John Law was a regular in high-stakes gambling games. I think that's how they met. But the Duke was the prime regent in France after the death of King Louis XV, because King Louis XVI was a miner. So the Duke controlled France, and France was broke. the Duke made John Law the Controller General of Finances in France because he was desperate to solve their debt crisis. And John Law temporarily solved the crisis by creating the world's first stock bubble. He became the world's richest man, owning about one-third of present-day United States. New Orleans was given that name by John Law to flatter the Duke of Orleans. But he lost everything when his bubble burst, and Law escaped France and died broke. I think John Law caused the French Revolution. So, you know, in many ways, he's kind of an interesting character.
Let's talk a bit more about the technical side of this game and what, and again, it's probably a good thing that I know nothing about this, because then I'll ask the kind of questions that somebody who knows nothing about it would ask. How does it work technically? And also, and related to that is, what's the relationship between Liberty Minecraft and Minecraft that you hear people talking about all the time?
Yeah. So Minecraft is a game that's created by a company named Mojang, right? And the game was created in 2008. So it's been around for a little while. They release a multiplayer version of the game, and people take that version to release another one, which can be modified. Plugins modify the game, and there are thousands of these. So I used those resources to build a Minecraft server that implements Austrian economics, libertarian ethics. It has private property, free markets, trade, commodity money, self-ownership, and each one is optional and available with smart contracts. For instance, if people want, they can even disable server protections and enter a player versus player combat with anyone else who has disabled that option. So the relationship between Minecraft and Liberty Minecraft is that this is a modified version of the game. There's nothing to download if someone wants to join. If they own Minecraft, they can join immediately. There's no cost for that.
Do you have a lot of players? And are you interacting with other players?
So far, we've had a little over 500 players visit. I'd say, you know, over the course of a month, probably 50 different players are playing on the server. And yeah, I do play online and check out what the players are doing. I write a regular blog series on our website, libertyminecraft.com, kind of exploring things that are happening in the game and how they apply to lessons about free market economics and liberty.
Well, that's really what I want to know, because even if you don't ever play these games, you might be interested in anything they might be able to teach you about these things. So you've got, this is a game that has money, that has property, in which the player is trying to abide by the non-aggression principle. Mm-hmm. When we watch this play out, is there something that we can learn?
I think so, yeah. Tom, I understand Murray Rothbard was very interested in spontaneous order. Within Minecraft, players spontaneously optimize their behavior to deal with the constraints that are set by server operators. And for people like you and I, this is much easier to understand because we look at the way the state imposes things and the way that affects the economy and people's actions. So oftentimes, the difference with Minecraft is that these constraints can be defined by computer code in such a way that they're impossible to break without actually hacking the server. So operators can create any rules they want, set those as constraints, and then, as you say, observe the effects on the economy or social groups and culture. And there are basically no limits on the rules a person can specify, and the market feedback is immediate because participation on a server is completely voluntary. So, you know, people born after the year 2000 are kind of like exploring statecraft without the state using video games. And I think there's some interesting lessons there. Just to give one example of what's possible, I could create a world where no one has private property in one area. And in another area, they do have it. And that can be the only rule which varies across the world, right? So then you let people interact with that world, and they spontaneously converge on a behavioral strategy which maximizes their own interest within those conditions. It's a demonstration of what happens with and without private property. In fact, this isn't idle talk. I've done this, and the results are astounding. Tom, I can send you the link. So when your audience visits tomwoods.com/1187, they'll find a one-minute time-lapse video. It shows you a year of player activity with and without private property. And then your audience can even visit the world and explore those places for themselves from their home computer. They can see it. So, of course, this is just a game, right? Minecraft is not the real world, but the people involved and their preferences are all completely real. So games are this really low-risk, low-cost alternative for demonstrating the effects of state policy. But you can also, as in our case, explore free markets and libertarian ethics. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I'm hoping to do with Liberty Minecraft.
Nathan, let me take just a second to point out that this is one of the episodes that I'm recording in advance so that I can go out of town to Boston for a week with the family. And of course, when I go out of town, you know what that means? I'm bringing my away carry-on. They have two sizes of carry-on and some regular suitcases, and they're great. Super lightweight, yet very impact resistant. They've got a compression system for overpackers like me. Four 360-degree spinner wheels spoil me. I can't even use other suitcases anymore because this one glides so beautifully through the airport. You've got a combination lock built into the top. You've got a laundry bag that's removable and washable, plus a 100-day trial. Live with it, travel with it. If you don't love it, return it for a full refund, no questions asked. But I don't think you will. You're going to love it just as much as I love mine. Free shipping on any Away order within the lower 48 states. And for $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/woods and use promo code WOODS during checkout. That's $20 off a suitcase at awaytravel.com/woods and use promo code WOODS during checkout. So how does private property work in the game? That might sound like a dumb question, but
it's a great question.
Just like in the real world, that if I buy something, I own it. I don't know if there's homesteading in the game, but maybe you can tell us.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really great question. It's actually, just speaking to you now, this one is a really difficult one to answer, but this is all recorded. And if anyone's dissatisfied with my explanation, they can. I'm going to deliver that answer to your audience at libertyminecraft.com. So as you're listening to this, you can go to the site. You'll find a blog post there about exactly this topic. But basically, the way property works is that I homestead the server, and then I'm selling the land by contract. So players can buy claim blocks, and then they can apply those claim blocks to the land. And these blocks are just another form of property, so they can buy and sell them, and there's no fee attached. So once the land is claimed by them, basically no one can use it, you know, unless I were to become malicious or the server were hacked. No one can use their property without their consent. And there are different ways that players can provide consent to others in order to use it. So they can maybe access chests or open and close doors or, you know, build there. It's really up to the players.
How about money? I get how money works in the real world and how it ought to work in the Austrian understanding. But in your case, you say these are all actors who start with no money. And I guess you get money by interacting with others in a voluntary way. But of course, then I wonder, where did those people get the money? What can you say about money in the game?
Yeah. So technically, this one was interesting to solve. Basically, you know, I mentioned before about diamonds, you know, that they have these money good properties, but the one property they don't have is that they're not divisible. So in Liberty Minecraft, diamonds are scarce. In a larger world, they wouldn't be, or at least not, certainly not as much. And players can, of course, destroy diamonds by, say, throwing them into lava or something. There might be other ways, but, you know, certainly, players can actually destroy this, and this will drive up the purchasing power of the available supply. So I've set up Liberty Minecraft in a way where players can divide their diamonds into cash. They can also convert cash back into money, and there's no fee attached to that. So, for instance, $1 in Liberty Minecraft represents one 1,000th of a diamond in the old world and one 1,000th of a diamond in the new world. We have a second game server, but in each case, it's measured to 15 decimal places. So if for some reason our money became so valuable that players were using like 1/10,000,000th of a penny, you know, I can simply move the decimal place to correct for that, revaluing our currency. Of course, you know, the players are free to use another medium of exchange if they don't like mine. Again, this is a completely voluntary interaction.
What else can you tell us about? I mean, I think the experiment of here there's private property and here there isn't, and then you can just watch how interaction unfolds is quite something. Now, we have to be careful, as you say, because it's not the real world, even though the participants in it are. When it really is your money, like actual spendable money in the real world, you would very likely make different decisions from what you might make under these conditions. But all the same, there's something highly suggestive about the way it all turned out in the matter of property. Have there been any other interesting outcomes that can compare with that one?
Yeah. Well, one interesting story. In Liberty Minecraft, players have the option to trade securely using their money through chest shops. So you set a price, you set the quantity, and you set the item that you want to trade. And then anyone can come by and trade with you at the specified price. And as long as you also own the land where your shop is placed, trades at your shop will execute securely. Well, in 2007, about midway through last year, one of our players stacked these chest shops up vertically in a way that automatically sets prices by supply and demand. Before that, most trades occurred in one place called the Bazaar. And this player, Alien Slayer 8, created a commodity exchange called Landing Market using this new innovation. And within 1 month, he single-handedly became like the Amazon of Liberty Minecraft. The Bazaar was wiped out. And today, if you go there, it looks like one of your local malls after the Walmarts of the world won in free competition. So he found an opportunity to change something. He did something different and answered one question. Is there a way to change an item's price without manually changing your shop? And this was a genuinely new innovation for the game, which had never existed before. And in a way, it's not a surprise because Liberty Minecraft is the only server which offers free markets and private property. Our players have an incentive to solve that problem. Today, in our old world, there's maybe 300 shops set up that way, offering 1,500 different prices. And that innovation made it possible for one person to maintain, you know, five times as many shops at something like one-fifth or less than that of the effort. And this is just one example. Innovations like this have happened a dozen times in the last year.
All right. I'm going to give you an opportunity, again, because I wish I knew more, but it's like with some techie topics, I try. With me, it's like military history. I'm so bad at it. I'm a professional historian. And every time I crack open a book on it, I can't get past page 3. It just doesn't stick with me. It's just, even though it's the only history most people like, I just can't make it work. So likewise with this, I rely on you to explain it to the folks. You know, you've got a 2-minute elevator pitch, let's say, or even 1 minute to say, why is it worth my while to do this? I mean, it's interesting to hear your different kind of experiments and ways we can see how the world might work. But why would I find this enjoyable? Why would I go to tomwoods.com/1187, click on the link, or just directly to Liberty Minecraft? Why would I do it? What's the excitement of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it's show me the goods, right? So if you want to become great at something, what do? You start early, practice often, and you get clear feedback. Magnus Carlsen and Garry Kasparov, they both started playing chess at age 5. Without question, two of the greatest chess players in history. Losing at chess is clear feedback. The artist, Pablo Picasso's first words were piz piz. I read that this means pencil in Spanish. Picasso was drawing as a toddler and started training at age 7. The world's most celebrated violinist, Niccolo Paganini, started at age 5. I understand people get the most from training before age 9. There seems to be a critical learning period because starting later has profound consequences for skill development. So it's start early, practice often, clear feedback. What about the capitalist? Warren Buffett, he delivered newspapers at age 14. There's not so many paper routes these days, but you can still do it. The free market provides clear feedback, except we don't have free markets. Instead, if your goal is to become rich, taxes and subsidies are a problem for you. Taxes punish good decisions, and subsidies reward mistakes, which is completely backward. If you want your children to become rich, minimum wage laws are a problem for you. It's illegal to learn basic skills for building capital until your labor is worth more than the minimum wage. People have to clear that barrier with unclear market feedback. So if you want to become a great capitalist, the state makes you throw away the best years of your life for learning to manage capital. Like, imagine what they're trying to have us lose here. all of the prodigies. So never mind start early, because that's child labor. And what kind of horrible person would support child labor? So Liberty Minecraft offers market competition without state intervention. There are no wage laws, regulations, taxes, subsidies. All interactions are voluntary. Our players become wealthy in the game by managing capital and exchanging value for value. And of course, Liberty Minecraft is built using the world's best-selling computer game, Minecraft. If you own the game, you can join Liberty in under 1 minute by visiting our website, libertyminecraft.com. And for 30 smackers, you can buy the game and join our website at our website, but not spending another dime.
Well, it's going to be a tough sell, because I know no libertarians ever play games. Oh, wait, no, it's just the opposite.
So, right.
So I hope people will visit your site and check it out, because it sounds pretty darn good. And especially, for heaven's sake, if your kids are going to be playing games anyway, have them play something half decent. And so so this is something to be recommended for sure. So libertyminecraft.com is the site?
That's right.
Okay. So libertyminecraft.com is where you should go. I guess it would be superfluous to ask for anything else you want to promote, because I think this is pretty much it. But if you're on Twitter or whatever, I'll also link to that stuff at tomwoods.com/1187. But check out libertyminecraft.com. This is something interesting. I mean, it's great to have a libertarian blog. Don't get me wrong. I have a libertarian blog. We need that. But to do something like this is, I hope people can see the significance of it. It's not just that we're getting like a simulation that confirms us in our ideas. It's also that this is the creation of something that gets out there into the culture.
That's right.
And that introduces this way of thinking to people in a way that's not so openly didactic. It's not like, here's an 800-page book I need you to read. I'm all for 800-page books. They're some of my favorite books. But not everybody's going to do that, but they might do this. And we go to try to win on every ground we possibly can. So this is where it's at, folks. So definitely check out libertyminecraft.com. And my thanks to Nathan for your time today. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, everybody. Definitely check out libertyminecraft.com. Very, very worthy project, and not the same old, but something really interesting and unique. So check it out, libertyminecraft.com, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.